Chapter 6. There are many difficult things in this world to hide, but a secret is not one of them. It is difficult to hide an airplane, for instance, because you generally need to find a deep hole or an enormous haystack and sneak the airplane inside in the middle of the night. But it is easy to hide a secret about an airplane, because you can merely write it on a tiny piece of paper and tape it to the bottom of your mattress any time you are at home. It is difficult to hide a symphony orchestra, because you usually need to rent a soundproof room and borrow as many sleeping bags as you can find. But it is easy to hide a secret about a symphony orchestra, because you can merely whisper it into the ear of a trustworthy friend or music critic. And it is difficult to hide yourself, because you sometimes need to stuff yourself into the trunk of an automobile or concoct a disguise out of whatever you can find. But it is easy to hide a secret about yourself, because you can merely type it into a book and hope it falls into the right hands. My dear sister, if you are reading this, I am still alive and heading north to try and find you. Had the Baudelaire orphans been looking for an aeroplane as they stepped inside Madame Lulu's fortune-telling tent, they would have known to look for the tip of a wing sticking out from under an enormous black tablecloth decorated with shiny silver stars which hung over a table in the centre of the tent. Had they been looking for a symphony orchestra, they would have known to listen for the sound of someone coughing or bumping up against an oboe as they hid in the corners of the tent, which were covered in heavy curtains. But the children were not looking for methods of air travel or professional musicians. They were looking for secrets. And the tent was so big, they scarcely knew where to begin looking. Was there news of the Baudelaire parents hidden in the cupboard that stood near the entrance? Could there be information about the Snicket file, stuffed into the large trunk that stood in one of the corners? And was it possible the children could find out the meaning of VFD by gazing into the crystal ball placed in the centre of the table? Violet, Klaus and Sunny looked around the tent and then at one another, and it seemed that the secrets concerning them could be hidden just about anywhere.
"Where do you think we should look?"
Violet asked.
"I don't know," Klaus replied, squinting all around him. "I'm not even sure what to look for."
"Well, maybe we should look for answers the way Count Olaf did," Violet said. "He told the whole story of his fortune-telling experience."
"I remember," Klaus said. "First he entered Madame Lulu's tent. We've done that. Then he said they turned out all the lights."
The Baudelaires looked up and noticed for the first time that the ceiling of the tent was decorated with small lights in the shape of stars, matching the stars on the tablecloth.
"Switch,"
Sunny said, pointing to a pair of switches attached to one of the tent poles.
"Good work, Sunny," Violet said. "Here, Klaus, walk with me so I can get a look at those switches."
The two older Baudelaires walked freakishly over to the pole, but when they reached the switches, Violet frowned and shook her head.
"What's wrong?" Klaus said. "I wish I had a ribbon," Violet said, "to tie up my hair. It's hard to think seriously with my powdery hair getting in my eyes. But my hair ribbon is somewhere at Heimlich."
Her voice trailed off, and Klaus saw that she had reached her hand into the pocket of Count Olaf's pants and was drawing out a ribbon that looked just like the one she usually wore.
"Yes,"
Sunny said.
"It is mine," Violet said, looking at it closely. "Count Olaf must have kept it when he was preparing me for surgery, and left it in his pocket."
"I'm glad you got it back," Klaus said, with a slight shudder. "I don't like to think about Olaf getting his filthy hands on our possessions. Do you need some help tying your hair up? It might be difficult using only one hand, and I don't think you should take your other one out from under the shirt. We don't want to mess up our disguise."
"I think I can manage it with one hand," Violet said. "Ah, there we go. I feel less like a freak and more like Violet Baudelaire with my hair up like this. Now let's see.
Both these switches are attached to wires that run up to the top of the tent,
One of them obviously controls the lights, but what does the other one do? The Bergelaise looked up again and saw something else attached to the ceiling of the tent. In between the stars was a small round mirror, hanging from a piece of metal, which held it at an odd angle. Attached to the metal was a long strip of rubber, which led to a large knot of wires and gears, which in turn was attached to some more mirrors, arranged in a sort of wheel.
What?
Sunny asked. I don't know, Klaus said. It sure doesn't look like anything I've read about.